There really are two major characters, as I see it, in the parable in today's gospel. And they're a study in contrast, to be sure. On the one hand, you have the benevolent king. The other, the self-consumed servant. One who leans towards being rich in mercy. And the other who demands justice only when it benefits him. As an illustration for the necessity of a forgiveness that doesn't impose limits, I believe that Jesus provides us this template for the life of the church, as well as the life of any individual Christian. Now, in recent years, I know you've heard that our parish, as well as really the archdiocese as well, has been struggling, wrestling, I'd say even grappling with the idea of what it means to be a community that moves from maintenance to mission. It seems to me that the servant provides us an example of what it means to be stuck in a mode of maintenance. The king, on the other hand, seems to be one who is open more to a mission-based approach. Let's make some comparisons between the two. I hope you'll see them as not so much as judgmental and more as inspirational. Now, the ungrateful servant, he's in the maintenance model, so to speak. He wants to keep what he has. He liked the forgiveness of the debt, but he still wanted to keep everything else that was owed him. Now, in a maintenance model, for the church, that often means that we see ourselves as kind of a group of initiated members, a club, so to speak, that serves the needs of the insiders. In some sense, membership has its privileges. A maintenance model doesn't really know a whole lot of risk. We place as our value that of preserving tradition, maybe even clinging to a culture of the past. We preserve what we have. And sometimes hear the refrain of, we've always done it this way, which isn't always true. And certainly we sometimes hear, we've never done it that way before. Sometimes it really is a veiled description of just really simply managing decline. When we hear statistics that tell us, for every new Catholic received into the church, six leave the church. That really should give us pause for serious reflection and a little bit of soul searching. Now, on the other hand, a mission-based approach, that which the benevolent king seemed to be leaning towards, I'm not saying he was totally successful, becomes more where the church becomes that where we know our mission is one of reaching out, meeting needs, physical, spiritual, emotional, seeing ourselves as a movement to transform lives. It is a model that knows risk. We hold on to the tradition, but we apply it. Not just preserve it, but apply it to engage the culture in which we live. Not just a culture that we may distantly remember. We build on that tradition that we already have, but we move forward exploring new and hopefully more effective ways of doing things. Contrary to managing decline, instead mission calls us to revive a sleeping giant. That's what we really are when you think about it. As individual Christians, as a church, we are sleeping giants, brimming with potential, but maybe sometimes just getting a little bit too used to doing what we're doing. Perhaps maybe even a little bit too comfortable. Now, as we embrace a purpose for our parish of forming disciples of Jesus Christ to live out the gospel, I really believe that this is nothing less than a call for us to revive a sleeping giant, our spiritual lives, our parish community, and our wider church. Because that's what we are so often, sleeping giants. Giants that are dozing a little bit, but not incapable of being awakened. As I see it, to fulfill our mission, to revive this sleeping giant, our spiritual lives, our life as a parish, we need to celebrate the strides that we made, but keep looking forward. I've said before, I think, that That future activity center, the parish activity center that's under construction on the edge of our property, I believe is a great image of our parish. A great work in progress, just not yet completed. Now there is a difference. The analogy falls short because we know that odds are come January that building will be completed and it will begin housing more ministries, more opportunities to celebrate, to share the gospel. But our parish will not be completed in January. It will continually be in a building model, that is, striving to build a community that forms disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, we call this preaching series that we're beginning today, Revive. Now, if it helps, and I hope it does, to remember what we're focusing on these 4 weeks, we've taken the word revive to awaken the sleeping giant and broken it down into an acronym of 6 words that maybe you can put to memory. If you think revive is hard, just be glad we didn't call the series transubstantiation. R-E-I-V-I-V-E. R stands for risk. That is, we need to have a willingness to step out into the deep. Much in the same way that Peter, when Jesus called him across the water, he said, come across, walk on the water. Peter said, I can't. Jesus said, try. And Peter tried. Not with a great deal of success, but Jesus had his back. He pulled him up when he floundered. We have to leave behind past failures, past wounds, and look forward. E stands for expect. Expect that God will take what we have to offer and God will work with it to make something beautiful. V stands for value. You and I need to value our own personal giftedness, not degrade it. We need to value also the gifts of others and celebrate them, affirm them, appreciate them. I stands for invest. We need to have some skin in the game to invest whatever it is that God has blessed us with into the missionary action of the church. V means that we give voice to the gospel. That is, we are proclaimers. We give voice to the gospel to others as a way of participating in our call as disciples to evangelize and make other disciples. And the last E is to engage. We can't just circle the wagons. We must engage the culture in which we live rather than striving to solely preserve our traditions, those traditions with little t's. In other words, the way we've always done things. We need to engage the culture in which we live, not necessarily the one in which we might have been raised. The king in the gospel took a risk, and you know what? It failed. The ungrateful servant just didn't get it. But you know, Jesus also took a risk. He took a risk on 12 men whom he called to be apostles. And they didn't always get it either. They were a little thick. They were prone to anger. They acted out of turn. They tried to get the higher seat. But you know what? Out of those 12, only one of them really failed totally. And that was Judas. And why? Because he walked away. He betrayed. For Peter, the idea of infinite mercy was pretty foreign. But that's what Jesus called him to. As we move forward with the revival of our community, we've already taken some risks. Last year, many of you, when I asked you, stepped up and increased your offertory to help fuel our mission. But I know there are still others who struggle a little bit with the new direction that we've taken. But I'd like to share a few stories with you. I may have shared this with you before, but I think it bears repeating. You know, each Sunday, before we begin Mass, the priest comes out and does a brief introduction and then encourages everyone to welcome each other, to get someone's name, and to offer to pray for that person. You know, the first day that we did that, that first weekend, I was terrified. I had a ball of ice in my stomach, at least this big. I don't know why. I was probably in bondage to that old what if syndrome. What if people are uncomfortable? What if people get upset? What if people get angry? What if people throw things at me? What if people walk out? And I myself really wasn't comfortable. But we did it. We did it again and again. And we've been doing it now for well over a year. And I know not everybody's totally comfortable with it. It's probably the bane in the life of an introvert. And I can say that as one who, believe it or not, leans towards introversion. And I know you won't believe that. But you know what? When I talk to someone who was away from the church for over a quarter of a century and returned one day, not really knowing, certainly not feeling as if they belonged, but they came in that way, that first day, and were welcomed at the door, were welcomed at the beginning of Mass, and someone told them that they would pray for them, and they were reminded at that Mass of their identity as a child of God, I cannot apologize for that. And then when I speak to that person a year, more than a year later, and they tell me they haven't missed Mass for a single week in well over a year, that's phenomenal, isn't it? When I witness an individual come to our parish office seeking some assistance from our St. Vincent de Paul Society, I walk in and I happen to just be walking by and there's the volunteer working with them. They've helped them, given them some material help, and then is talking to them about Alpha. And they look to me and say, do we have any of those cards that we gave out at church for Alpha? And I was really embarrassed because we didn't have any of them in the office. I know, we dropped the ball on that. But I was never more proud of our staff when one person on the staff said, I'll run over to the church and get some. And they were like, over and back. If that had been me, I'd still be walking back to church, but to the office. We gave them the card. And you know, you half expect that people are going to say, thank you and forget about it. He says, I'm going to really try to be there. And on Tuesday night, I walked in and there was that individual. They showed up where they were valued, accepted, fed a nice meal, and had an opportunity to experience a community where they could explore questions and know that they were valued as a child of God. And then to say that they're coming back next week and intend to bring a few others with them. Doesn't that rock? That's why we're here. But you know, at one time, I have to confess, I saw the church as a club that I joined. I was proud of the fact that I had completed all the requirements I needed to for membership. I received my sacraments. Even went on to study and be ordained to the Holy Priesthood of Jesus Christ. But you know what? We cannot be a club of insiders. We need to be a community that's open, ready to receive folks in, receive folks back, right where they are, knowing that God will help them to get where they need to be. And my dear friends, that's what we're committed to investing in this community. We're putting more funds into Alpha. We've established and expanded new staff positions like our Director of Community Life, our Director of Missions. We've added additional hours dedicated to youth ministry. We're creating more spaces like over in the Hermitage for groups to meet. Creating a childcare area, offering that so that folks have the ability to come to church and if they need it, have somewhere safe that they can leave their child, their little child, so that they can then attend Mass. We're creating spaces where people can gather in the evening, where we can keep the lights on for groups to help them grow as disciples of Jesus. As we go through this preaching series, my challenge to you is to make a commitment to revive your faith and help us to revive our parish, to awake that sleeping giant by taking the next step in your investment and engagement in this community and in your own spiritual life. You might remember last year when I asked you to take the next step financially, and I'm making a similar appeal this year. I just simply say, if you're not currently contributing regularly to the offertory, I ask that you make that commitment and do so, maybe even seriously consider utilizing online giving like I do myself. I find it to be very easy. If you currently are giving, I thank you, and I ask that you prayerfully consider going up to the next step. For instance, if you were tithing maybe 2% of your resources, think about making it 2.5% or 3%, or wherever you are, just nudging it up a little bit to make sure that your giving is proportionate to your means. You need to know that I've already made that commitment myself, not because I'm the pastor of this parish, but because I'm a member of this parish. But then, of equal importance, I invite you, I encourage you to take the next step in your spiritual life, in prayer, in service, in your own personal formation. You've heard me laud Alpha, and That Man Is You for Men, and Walking with Purpose for Women, and many of the other programs that we have here. They're all wonderful investments in growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And grow you will, and in ways that you probably might never expect. These opportunities will arm you with all that you need to engage in the church's mission and your mission as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So here's what I'm asking you this week. I'm asking that you pray and look for ways to revive, to wake up, to startle, to deepen your relationship with Jesus, even to maybe take a risk. The benevolent king provided the stellar example. The greedy servant squandered his blessing. Let's never squander, undervalue, or even take for granted the calling with which we've been entrusted, or the blessings that await us from the Lord. But I'll tell you one thing. As much as we can do, as much as we can give, as much as we can aspire to, God will never be outdone. God will never be outdone. Amen.
Amen.